This is Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Travis. To my right is Johnny from Chi-Town. And today we are going to be speaking about a story. What makes a great story? Really, there's three basic parts that make a story a great story, and they're all really the same. There's an orientation period where you meet the characters. There is some type of complication, a villain or something that comes into the story, and then there's resolution to the story. So if you think about movies, think about things like that, what are some of your favorite stories that you've heard? Maybe you could even do a storybook that you read when you were a kid, Travis.
I read storybooks every night. Little Critter and me are buddies. Are we talking books or movies, our favorite?
Whatever you story. Like.
I mean, I don't know if I can admit my favorite movie on here. Dumb and Dumber. There, I said it. Book, though.
Wait, I said great stories. Great stories.
Okay. I like what was into the wilderness, Into the Wild, Chris McCandless. That was kind of a pseudo based on a true story movie that I read the book first. Yay me. The movie was pretty good. It was pretty close to the book. I thought they did a really good job. But yeah, there was some adventure to it. This kid wants to go out and be this super tramp hitchhiker guy. And he goes out on his own and kind of ends up in Alaska. And he got himself into some trouble. And the climax of the story is he didn't make it. So I ruined
spoiler
it for everybody.
Alert. Yeah. Didn't he live in a bus or
something?
Yeah,
there was
like
and still out there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought they. I think they actually may have taken it out because people were trying to traverse out of there.
That was on my bucket list.
Yeah, I don't think you can go there anymore.
Yeah, I like that one. Although, when I think about it's a great story. It's engaging and, you know, very interesting. That one kind of leaves you hanging because the resolution, it's not a happy. I guess there's other stories without happy endings, so that's okay. Yeah, I like that one.
What about you, John? What story is on your bucket list or a story that you just really appreciate?
The Shawshank Redemption is one of my favorite stories. There's just something in that, you know, as the title implies, there's a redemption to that story. There's twists and turns in that story. So, yeah, that's one of my favorites.
What's the name of the guy, the character? He's got a cool name.
Oh, man, you put me on the spot. Andy Dufresne.
Yes, Andy Dufresne.
Yeah, and his friend Red.
Climbs through the sewer.
That's right.
How about yours?
I thought we were going more on the Star Wars on that one, the nerd herd one.
That's where I thought you were going. Hold on. This is for real. We're going to take a turn here on this podcast. I was thinking about, as weird as this is, I'm laying in bed going to sleep last night, had an early morning, so I was going to bed early, had a hard time going to sleep. And I was thinking about this nerd herd talk you got over here about Star Wars and my fandom. I don't think you realize Star Wars isn't nerdy anymore. You're thinking back to when it first came out. Yeah, it was nerdy. It's generally accepted. I'm just going to throw it out there.
I think you're right. I think it is. It's generally accepted with the hipster crowd now. So,
wow, that's great.
Yeah. I think mine are, I don't go the nerd herd route. I go with the rom-coms. Those are kind of my...
So cool.
That was one thing I wasn't willing to admit here.
I have no problem. I'm okay with it. 10 things, is it 10 things I hate about you?
Mm-hmm.
That one, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, those are all good. There's always this really great character development. I don't know, great, that's an overstatement in both of those movies. But there's this issue that's resolved at the end. I think that's really the key to all stories, is no matter who we are or how we're connected to them, we see ourselves somehow in the plot, whether it be your Star Wars thing. Who are you in Star Wars?
Well, again, this doesn't help. My favorite character is Darth Vader, but I don't want anyone to assume anything.
What's
a
Wookiee? What's that dude's name?
Chewbacca.
Come
on, we can do this.
You
all
look
day.
More like Chewbacca.
There's my impression.
He's got a big beard. If you have not seen him, that's why he doesn't really look like Chewbacca. So.
Well, one of the shows that I loved the storyline on was The Office. And over the break that we had of the pause in life with...
Am I Michael Scott in that story?
plead the fifth. I think the part of that story, and like, Levi, I know Friends was a favorite episode or a favorite series of yours for a while. Maybe it wasn't Friends.
Yeah, it was. My wife really was okay. into it for a while. Yeah, I remember we
talked about that at one point. But like, what draws us into those is that we can start to relate with the characters. And there's something with The Office. Those guys started to feel like my friends, and I wanted to catch up with what was going on with Michael Scott and Dwight and the whole crew. And when I read through the Bible, some of those stories, I can relate with the characters. Like we were talking about a good story, and the Bible's filled with tons of great stories. And we start to resonate with them, the struggles that they go through, the challenges that they walk with, and ultimately the overcoming. I mean, like, you don't see every story end with a great ending and everybody's happy and joyful, but that's life too. And I think that resonates with our hearts, that real life happens. It's not always perfect.
I think all of our lives are this story. It's this story of character development, this story of you're born and you come into this family and there's a history to it and you're a character now in this story that's playing out. And there's movements in the story where it's difficult. There's movements of resolution within the story. The Bible says that you were knit together in your mother's womb. There was a beginning to your story. It's found in Psalms 139. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." The story of our lives starts to unfold. You don't know everything about your future, but you have dreams. Some of you might want to be married. Some of you might want to retire and enjoy your grandchildren. Others are in the middle of building their careers and starting their families. Some are looking forward to finishing school. These are all a part of the hope for your story. That is these stages within our story. I think there's chunks of the story. There's that beginning, kind of that early middle section, that late middle section. And we have those within our lives. And we're oriented into that story. We're a character into the story. Everybody has a story. And we all have complications within our story. The scriptures are pretty clear that there are complications. And it's how it interrupts our story. What's interesting is that it's universal, the interruption. The interruption in the Bible is sin. The Bible tells us that we've all done it, for we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it interrupts our story. Sin enters in and it enslaves us. It brings shame to our story. It defiles us. It spreads corruption and death and all of that, and it's a part of our story. If we were to ask the question, and I think this would be to any listener, to even to you guys, is the world the way it's supposed to be?
This is one of those questions that feels easy to answer. You look around at the world that we live in, and there's so much injustice, there's so much struggle, there's so much pain. I think the obvious answer is no, the world is not the way it's supposed to be. There's so much that could be and should be different.
I think of a conversation that I had with my youngest son not too long ago. He was talking about people dying. And he's like, why do people die? Like, they get old, like, you get sick. And he's like, well, why do they die? And the answer was because that's the way of the world. That's not the way that God intended right. it to be. It was a lot harder conversation than that. But it starts to make you think, even at a young age, he's 4, kids pick up on this. There's yeah. something that we have built in us because we're created in God's image of those injustices, of those wrongs, of how stuff isn't supposed to be the way that it actually is.
We all do premarital counseling around here and counsel even people who are already married, and it's part of what we do in our jobs. And one of the things that often comes to the table is one party coming from a divorced family. And my question always in that is, what was that like? How did that affect you? And even if their parents fought constantly and it was really difficult, there's some heinous things that happened, the dream and the hope was not to come from a broken family. Right. And they recognized very quickly within the set of questions that it has affected them. The brokenness of that part of their story has made a mark or a mar on their lives. And I think we can all say that even if you had parents who just fought constantly, it wasn't your dream to have divorced parents. We imagine why like sitcoms and things like that work so well. And you go back to the old sitcoms of like Brady Bunch or Leave It to Beaver. They depict a family structure that's there and it's very beautiful and very connected, but it resonates with our hearts. That's why we watch it. One of the things that is deep-seated in our hearts is this idea, this Hebrew word shalom, that there would be peace and flourishing. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you plant a garden? Because you think it's going to flourish, even if it doesn't. And you're disappointed if it doesn't flourish. But I think it's deep-seated because that's how we were designed to live. And sin comes in and rapes the land and rapes the culture and rapes the family and creates something that it's not supposed to be. It's almost like if you were in your house, everything was flourishing and your garden's beautiful and you look out the window and there's a dude pouring gas on your garden. Someone else is trying to pick your lock and come into the house. And everywhere you look, all of a sudden there's things just breaking and being not the way it's supposed to be. Then you hear your wife screaming and there's somebody in the bedroom and you're like, what is going on here? What do you do? This is the way that sin interacts, and I don't think we totally understand what it would be like if sin hadn't entered into the world. So that's our problem in humanity, is sin. It's the brokenness, and without Jesus, the Bible tells us that we don't even know that the intruder is in our house. We're just living. It says that we're actually enemies of God, that we've chosen to walk away from God, that we've chosen to endure sin and to project sin or hurt other people in our lives. And even if you say, well, I'm a good person, there are still times where you have not lived up to that. Yeah. And you have somehow broken that. And it's not the way it's supposed to be. Maybe it's how you responded to somebody. Maybe it's how you treated somebody else. And even though on a consistent basis that you really try to be good, there's been moments in your life, maybe even think back to your teenage years and how you responded to your mom when she said your bedtime was 10 and you asked for 11, and then she said it was 9, and then you were mad. Oh, maybe that's my story. I don't know.
We're talking about stories and sin and the brokenness that it breeds in our world. This idea of story all of a sudden becomes really important, right? If we're talking about a good story involves some kind of transformation or change of the main character. I can't think of too many good stories where nothing happens to the main character. They stay the same. We leave the movie theater a couple hours later and nothing has happened. Usually those aren't at the top of our list, right? And so there's this construct for stories called the hero's journey. You can fit it into a lot of classic stories. Star Wars is one that fits in. Lord of the Rings, you know, Harry Potter. You could be, most good stories fit into the hero's journey. And there's steps that go along, but there's this idea that you move from the ordinary world to the special world. What's the change that's happening? And there's a point in there called crossing the threshold where the main character has to go from their comfort, go from sitting in the place that they were at to moving into a new thing, moving into adventure. And the good news about Jesus is that he invites us into this new world where we can be changed, we can experience hope, we can experience new life, but it requires this crossing the threshold.
Yeah, so we have orientation. Mm-hmm. So orientation is that you're knit together in your mother's womb, that you're created in the image of God, that God breathed the very life that you have into you. That's your orientation. Then you have complication. There is the complication that we know as sin. It's an intruder into our story. Sin is simply anything that corrupts God's original design for us. Our stories are messed up, and we know that at some level, and that's the complication to the story. But however, like any great story, Jesus offers resolution, and he wants to change our story. The Bible is clear. One of the famous verses you'll see it in football games sometimes in the back when they're kicking field goals. It's John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but he'll have eternal life.
And then it goes on. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. He wasn't coming to tell us, hey, the judgment is there and to condemn. He was coming to say, hey, here's the resolution. He wasn't just coming to point to the sin that he knows is there. And it says, whoever believes, the next verse, in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. That is already, the judgment has already taken place in our story because of the brokenness in the broken relationship that we have with God. And so Jesus came to be that resolution.
One of my favorite Bible stories about this that has all those components to it is Saul's conversion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Saul was the worst of the worst, persecuting the church, killing people, having people killed. It was like the Jewish mafia. And yet we look at his story, and that's the story of us. Like you said in Romans, we're all sinners, we're all enemies of God. But we have that come to Jesus moment. We have that experience with him where he's saying, here's my gift. Take it. It's free. It's for you. It's for all people. And when we do that, that's when our lives change. There's that transformation that takes place.
We talk about this often with people who are entering into a relationship with Jesus for the first time, that it's not a snap your fingers, say the magic words, and life is perfect. You're being invited into something that gives meaning and purpose to your suffering. Romans 5, where the Apostle Paul, this guy who made this incredible transformation in his life through the help of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, he says that suffering, if we're in Christ, our suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And this is, to me, the key word is hope. It doesn't take away difficulty. It doesn't take away the fact that we're in a broken world, but it gives us hope in the midst of that. And there's nothing bigger than that.
Yeah. And the other part of it is as Jesus walks in as a rescuer, one of my favorite stories is the woman who's caught in adultery. Under Mosaic law, if a woman was caught in adultery, you took her on the streets and you threw rocks at her and took her life for what she had done. And Jesus steps in and rescues her. And I see us in that story. I see us as the woman who was condemned. She was brought to the place where she, by law, should have died. And yet Jesus steps into this place and he takes her place in a sense. He defends her and he does the same for us. He defends us. He takes our place. He's the one who has the right to throw the stone at us. We're the creation from the Creator who is God and who is Jesus. And he has you mess this thing up, I'm gonna destroy you. Instead, he comes in and rescues and reclaims and restores. And we're caught in the corrupting, not in the flourishing of the world. And Jesus defends us and takes us out of that and brings us into a place where we're in relationship with him, where we can start the movement toward flourishing.
Yeah. There's a song called Defender. I think it's by Bethel. That's one of my, like, on my hot playlist right now that I love. But I love the words in it because it talks about, you know, hallelujah, you have saved me, so much better are your ways. Hallelujah, great defender, so much better your way. And it talks about the story of God's redemption. I was broken. You put me back together. I was lost, but you found me. I was under persecution. I was under pursuit by the enemy, but you defended me and you rescued me.
The other part that I'm just so struck by the gospel is it's not that it saves us in that moment, but even in that woman, I think she was being saved. Jesus kind of laid it down and said, you know, if you are without sin, you be the one to throw the first rock, and everybody walks away. But I don't think that's day one. That's the next day too. Like, no one's chucking rocks at her. And I think the same is true for us, is that the gospel doesn't just save us. It's saving us. We see clearly for the first time. We see clearly that we have sin in our life. We realize that we're people who have added to the corruption and the brokenness of this world. And I want the life that Jesus promised. I want this life. I want him to be my rescuer. I want it to return to the way he created it. And we also realize that there are people who have hurt us. And there's a part of that process that we start to walk through of forgiving and recognizing that the creator of the world has forgiven us. And I think there's something beautiful about that story. And as we are able to forgive others, I think we bring about flourishing within the world.
Absolutely.
Well, that is shalom. That is peace that Jesus brings to this world. That is one of the things that he promised from his birth to his death to his resurrection, is that there would be shalom. And so we just invite you into the story of God, because it is your story. And anytime you place your story into God's story, it is a great story.
If you guys liked what we talked about today, or you want to check out any of our previous episodes of Pearls and Swine, you can search us on your device. Just look up Evangel Houghton Podcast and you'll find us there. Or you can always check us out on our website, evangelup.org. Or if you have any questions or comments or have a topic that you'd like us to cover, shoot me an email, travis@evangelup.org.